October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. For this edition of the Community Wellness Report, I spoke with M. Lynn Crane from USAVE about what counts as domestic violence and how it affects our children and teens. What exactly is domestic violence?
Well, domestic violence, most people, when they think about it, they picture bruises and black eyes and, broken windows and things like that. As advocates, we define it usually as a pattern of assaultive and coercive behaviors that adults or adolescents use against their current or former intimate partners. And it's done to gain or maintain control over the other person. A lot of the behaviors that we see as advocates aren't necessarily things that someone could be charged with. You could be talking about economic abuse, where one partner in the relationship keeps control of all the money. You could be talking about breaking of objects as a way to threaten someone, threats to hurt pets or children, denying someone's reality and trying to make someone feel like they're crazy, belittling someone's spiritual beliefs, controlling someone, where someone goes and who they talk to, and being extremely jealous and possessive. All of those behaviors, until they escalate into something more physical, they're not necessarily considered criminal, but they are abusive and they work for the person to gain or maintain control over their partner.
So it's any sort of either physical, mental, emotional, or sexual manipulation.
Exactly. Exactly.
So how do you know if you're in an abusive situation as opposed to just in a bad relationship? What's the difference?
Well, I think the difference is safety. How safe you feel in your relationship. Are you able to talk about the problems you face? I mean, even if a couple discovers they can't work those problems out or that they're not going to stay together, a relationship that isn't a domestic violence relationship and isn't dangerous, that couple is going to be able to make their way through that without anyone feeling frightened, without anyone feeling threatened or controlled. Whereas in a relationship where there's domestic violence, a person is usually at the most risk when they try to end the relationship.
What do you mean they're at the most risk then?
Because most of the perpetrators of domestic violence are men and most of the victims are women, that's what I'm going to refer to, although we always acknowledge that it does happen in gay and lesbian relationships and that women can be batterers as well. But women are more likely to be hurt worse, and they're much more likely to be killed. When most of the women that are murdered by a current or former husband or boyfriend, it happens after they've taken a step to leave the relationship. That's why when people ask, well, why didn't she leave? Why did she stay so long? Usually it's because she knew she would be in danger if she left.
So if that's the case, how do you get out?
Well, safety planning and calling upon experts who work with victims and survivors all the time, using your local law enforcement, using the civil and criminal justice system to support you as you make that change. Anyone in the community or in the region that needs help can call our crisis line at 581-1500 anytime. We can help with safety planning.
So let's take a step back with this. What are some signs of a domestically abusive relationship?
Well, one that can be confusing for people is something we call quick involvement. But quick involvement where you're moving in together, 2 weeks after you meet, you're getting married 3 months after you meet. This other person doesn't want you to see any of your friends. This other person wants all of your time. This other person starts to isolate you, starts to want to monopolize everything that you do. Extreme jealousy, possessiveness, trying to keep you from doing activities you enjoy. If you find yourself sort of cutting out friends or cutting out activities that you used to do before the relationship, and if you try to resume those, it causes problems. That's a big warning sign.
Okay.
And it can be very confusing because, when you fall in love, a lot of times you do want to monopolize each other's time, but most of us work our way through that phase to a more healthy, balanced relationship. So it can be confusing, and it's easy to get swept away with all those feelings, especially for young people who may not have a lot of experience. So, it's important to keep your eyes open for those warning signs.
So when you start seeing the signs, or when your friends start seeing those signs, what do you recommend people do?
For themselves?
For themselves and for their friends.
Well, for themselves, I would say try to talk to their partner about it, about what their concerns are. Maybe do a little bit of reading or research on your own. if you're in a situation where you feel like you're in actual danger or you could be in danger, I have to caution to be careful what you do on a computer. If the person you're afraid of has access to your computer, it's pretty easy to figure out what websites you visited. Call USAVE and talk about what's happening. You don't have to give your name. You can just kind of give us an idea what's going on with you, and maybe we can provide a little reality check. Talk to your friends. You know, I think a lot of times that's why batterers want to isolate their victims, is because they know that the victim's friends provide a touchstone for them, a sort of reality check that they don't have if they're not talking to them anymore. If you have a friend you're concerned about, you know, try to be as upfront as possible. You know, I'm worried about you. It seems that maybe he or she isn't treating you quite right. How do you feel? Do you feel scared? Try to ask those questions. I know it's hard to do, and sometimes people don't want to hear it, and they will get angry. If you don't feel comfortable talking to your friend directly, you can call USAVE, and we can provide you with some materials.
When people talk about domestic violence in Alaska, people say it's one of the largest problems here. Alaska has one of the highest incidences of it. Is that true? And how do those statistics stand for here locally?
That is true. We've led the nation in the last 10 years, I think 5 or 6 times, in the number of women murdered by men, almost always by men they were either currently or previously involved with. 69% of the homicides in Alaska in 2008 were related to domestic or sexual violence. Locally, I think our stats for FY09 were that we dealt with I think about 70 unduplicated victims of domestic violence and or sexual assault. 93% of those were local, meaning that they were living or working in Alaska at the time. Alaska is such an isolated community, and you know, law enforcement in some places is so far away that it's easy for things to go on for a long time before anybody is able to make a change or reach out for help.
When you read the police blotter here, there's different charges that seem to be domestic violence charges, and oftentimes it's between roommates. Is domestic violence something that goes beyond relationships?
Legally, yes. Legally, the law includes people that live together. And the law was broadened to include people with different kinds of relationships so that when someone needed protection, they could get it. They could use the civil and criminal remedies available to them. Most of the people that we are dealing with at USAVE are people that are in a relationship with the person that's assaulted them.
What about relationships that involve domestic violence and also children? Is there a way to keep the children safer, or are there resources for them?
Children who witness domestic violence are at higher risk for a lot of behaviors and a lot of potential problems down the line. They're more likely to be aggressive themselves, anxious, depressed, hyperactive. Oftentimes, domestic violence against a mom happens in front of the children. A batterer will threaten to hurt the children or to take the children away as a way of controlling the mom. And moms are often afraid to leave a situation if their partner has threatened that he will take the kids or that he will report her to OCS. Many times children who live in the situation, it becomes normal for them, and it's more likely that they might fall into a relationship where they are either a perpetrator or a victim in the future because it feels like what they're used to.
Is there violence or dating violence within teen populations as well?
Absolutely. They say that 1 in 3 high school girls has been slapped or hit or coerced into sex by a dating partner. Another thing we see a lot with teens is use of technology as a way of controlling, and that can happen by both boys and girls. A lot of trying to keep track of somebody all the time through your texting or through your email, a lot of phone calls, a lot of controlling behavior, isolating behavior, a lot of jealousy and wanting to keep someone to yourself, wanting to get someone to drop out of other activities. So we have a USAVE staff member, Jennifer, who's working with the Natural Helpers right now to do some training on healthy relationships, and we're hoping to get more of that out into the community as well.
What kind of advice would you give a teen to make sure that they are in a healthy relationship?
I would watch for those red flags of someone trying to isolate you, someone who's very possessive and jealous, doesn't want you talking to other boys or other girls, doesn't want you participating in any of your normal activities. someone who basically wants you all to him or herself. We all have that little voice inside us that kind of tells us when something isn't right. And if something doesn't feel right, you know, it's quite possible that there's something off. So, you know, ask for help. Talk to your teacher or your parent. And if you can't, you can call USAVE and get some more information. It's important to know that you deserve to be treated with respect in any relationship that you're in.
What if you find that you yourself are becoming a perpetrator?
Mm-hmm.
How do you stop? How do you get help?
Well, for batterers, domestic violence perpetrators who've escalated to physical abuse and more of the behaviors we've been talking about, there are batterers intervention programs. Unfortunately, no one offers those here on the island. I know that some of the behavioral health providers do provide anger management, which can be helpful. There's some controversy about those issues, but we probably don't have time to get in all that. I think it's a matter of taking a look. Like any behavior you want to change, I guess you have to take a look at it and be honest about it and take the steps you need to make those changes. You know, learn about what's happening with you. Ask for help when you need it. Make the choice to walk away rather than let things escalate. And if you've been abusive to your partner, you know, you need to give the relationship time to heal. And if the person doesn't want to try again, you need to accept that and move on.
What resources are available to people here who are either in relationships or healing from those relationships?
Well, of course, there's USAVE. We have a 24-hour crisis line, which is 581-1500. We offer advocacy and shelter and personal support and all kinds of other services. We have wonderful behavioral health providers in town, wonderful clergy members. As far as behavioral health goes, we, you know, as advocates, we don't necessarily think that victims need counseling because they're victims, but we think that behavioral health counseling is good for everybody. So that's the only reason I say that. And plus, the providers we have in our community are just wonderful. And they can be reached at APIA at 581-2742 or at the clinic at 581-1202.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Just don't be afraid to call USAVE. You don't have to give your name. Anything you tell us will be kept confidential, and we have a lot of information for you. And let's keep working to make Unalaska a community that's free of violence.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That was the Community Wellness Report featuring M. Lynn Crane. I'm Ann Hillman. We spoke together about domestic violence in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month.